Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to another episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just got back from errands. So I heard you had a nice little cat nap.
Yeah, I'm going to be starting off kind of slow here, listeners. Sorry.
It's okay.
Welcome to Funk Radio.
Won't you call me on my cell phone? I know that Drake song. That's Drake, right? I don't even know.
I have no idea. Speaking of cell phones, Kyle, something that used to be a big deal with cell phones, I don't know, 10 plus years ago, that is not really a thing now, is ringtones.
Yep.
Do you remember ringtones, Kyle?
I do. I remember they first started becoming popular, like, when I was in, like, late middle school, like, 8th grade, and up until the launch of the iPhone, what was that, like 2006, so I was a junior, I think, when that came out. So basically, from middle school to sophomore year of high school, ringtones were like a status symbol almost in high school. All the cool kids had, you know, the razors and the LG chocolate or whatever the hell that
was. Well, I was about to say, I think the type of cell phone you had, or if you just had one in general, was also a bit of a status symbol. And I imagine the same is true now, but it's like, well, which 10-year-old has the iPhone 7 Plus?
I was just going to say, funny story, I have a little cousin, she's like 7, and her friend from class, I forgot what we were doing, but she was with her or whatever, they were having some sleepover and we happened to stop by. Her friend from class, who is also 7, has a freaking iPhone. It's like, she was like, oh, it's my dad's old phone, he got a new one, so he gave me this one. I'm like, I didn't even have a cell phone until I was like a freshman in high school. And now 7-year-olds have like iPhones. It's sad.
The concept of the iPhone itself is probably older than that child.
Oh yeah. Like the initial phone probably came out before she was born.
That's scary.
It's funny too, because you know, both the iPad and I know the Kindle tablet thing, they advertise like kid-friendly cases for these tablets because, you know, tablets are becoming the new toy to give like a 3-year-old to, you know, keep their small brain occupied while you do adult stuff. But it's kind of insane because, you know, back in like the 70s and 80s, and even probably when we were kids, you know, when we would watch TV, parents would be like, you know, don't sit too close to the TV, you'll get a brain tumor or something.
And look what happened to us. We made Funk Radio.
Exactly. Yeah, they were right about us. And now they have, like, you know, giant screens that they just shove in the faces of, like, toddlers. Like, here, watch YouTube videos of Elmo over and over.
So, in case you weren't prepared, listeners, this episode is going to be a lot of us just bitching about the way things are. Talking about the way things used to be.
Yeah, it's the get off my lawn episode.
We've had a couple of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, so ringtones is really, I mean, I literally don't think we've ever talked about ringtones at all in this show.
I think you're right.
I think probably because we haven't really considered them part of the digital music realm, and probably a lot of people don't. Although, from an industry point of view, they actually are considered part of, like, if you talk about overall, like, music industry sales, for example, ringtones are considered a sizable portion of music sales and distribution and whatnot. So it's actually considered a legit thing, which I had no idea. Not exactly sure how I got onto this topic, but recently it came to mind and I thought, you know, it might be something worth looking into. I think I didn't realize just how much information there is about ringtones. I wrote down a lot in researching for this episode, but like for any like subtopic of this, you could easily have your own episode about it. So I guess, so we were just talking about, oh, you know, they used to be a thing and nowadays they, for all intents and purposes, they aren't. So I guess the question is, why did they become such a big deal? Like, what were the factors that led to it becoming such a boom? Because I think you and I both remember it being like a huge selling point, basically, of cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe unsurprisingly, one of the things, you know, trying to look back at the time period of this, starting in 2000, early, the first few years of the 2000s, you know, cell phones had already been around for a while, but there was also this growing novelty of you could have any song you wanted on your cell phone, and it's not just a boring old tone. You know, it could be your favorite song, you know. Mm-hmm. And remember, at this point, digital music distribution wasn't really a thing yet, at least not for the masses. The concept of that was like, oh crap, like I can, you know, get any song I want. Like, that's a cool point of customization. Customization itself also being something else that wasn't really around much yet.
That's a good point. It was kind of one of the first ways for people to customize their technology to kind of suit their personality in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was a way for people to individualize themselves, even if they, you know, all had similar cell phones, they could have custom ringtones that they knew when that ringtone was heard, that's their phone.
Exactly. And I did mention just a second ago about the start of digital music as well. As a reminder, history-wise, where we are in comparison to that, the original iPod came out in 2001, and Apple launched iTunes at that same time,
mm-hmm.
Obviously in correlation with the first iPod. So really the genesis of digital music as we know it now more or less started in 2001, which is roughly where the story of ringtones kind of begins. So they're very close together, but again, like even maybe, you know, a couple of years after that, I think the idea of digital music was still like, whoa, you could put 100 songs on this little thing. Of course, nowadays it's probably 100,000 songs.
Yeah, I think one of the last iPods, the iPod Classic, I think they had a 128 gigabyte version that was roughly like 100,000 songs.
Hmm.
So you're not far off.
I was mentioning how ringtones are more or less considered part of the music industry in terms of sales and whatnot. So another question I was thinking about is like, well, what is that ringtone industry worth? And looking back, I was trying to find numbers at different points in time to try to get an idea of what the ringtone industry was worth. It's a little tough to find reliable numbers. It seems like 2003 or so is where ringtones started to become a sizable money-making venture. So globally, ringtone sales totaled at about $3 billion in 2003. Which, for a new concept, I mean, $3 billion, that's not bad. That's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, by 2006, I think that's considered around the peak of where ringtones were. I saw numbers kind of between $4.5 billion to $6.5 billion. I kind of had some trouble verifying those numbers, but somewhere in that range of, let's just say, $5 billion in sales that year. But then, you know, much later, by 2015, only a couple years ago from this recording, sales were down to around $1 billion. Obviously, it's much lower than it was at its peak, but I'm also super surprised that it's that high still.
True, but one thing you have to factor in is the inflation between 2006 and 2015. That's about a decade's worth. Yeah. So even though it's a billion, it's probably, you know, 70% the amount of people are buying ringtones as it was when it was a billion in 2006.
Yeah, that's true. Like, these numbers probably aren't adjusted for that. So
even
with inflation, I feel like that's still like a lot more than I would have. I mean, I didn't even realize ringtones were still a thing that people bought anymore.
Honestly, neither did I. The thing I do remember when ringtones were popular, they were expensive.
Later on in the episode, we'll kind of talk about like what were the reasons that ringtones kind of fell out of popularity. I guess we'll look ahead to one of those reasons right now in response to what you just said. Basically, yeah, they were expensive. And at some point, whether it was 2006 around the peak or slightly after that, by that point, you know, digital music stores had been around for a number of years. Like iTunes by then had been around for at least 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the concept of digital music itself wasn't as like a novelty as it was before. But the other side of that is you know, you could buy a whole song digitally for, let's say, $1, which has more or less always been the price. It's a little bit higher now, but let's just say it was $1 a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for a ringtone, depending on what it is, you know, it's anywhere between 15 to 30 seconds of a song. And in most cases, you were talking about $2 to $6 a piece.
Wow.
For a ringtone versus like $1 for the entire song. Obviously, the uses of those is different. Like at some point, they were probably like, well, you're paying a little bit more because it's specialized for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so you're right that they were kind of expensive for what you got, especially when you started to consider the price of what a full song was
in a
more or less the same format. So that's one of many reasons why ringtones kind of fell. So it was a nice cash grab, I guess, for the music industry at the time when people were willing to pay for it. But I think that also might have been kind of one of its downfalls eventually.
Mm-hmm.
In the research that, you know, I did here, Kyle, was there anything in particular that stood out to you that we haven't discussed yet?
I think it is kind of funny that during this era of ringtone popularity, a lot of subgenres of music, mainly like rap for some reason, started to create songs and stuff specifically for ringtones, which I think is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
it's sad too, because I have this feeling that, because it's like, well, shit, I'm selling a song for $1 a pop, or I can sell a 20-second clip for $2 to $6 a pop, that artists would, you know, create, quote, ringtone-friendly songs, where you could take chunks of a song, market it as a ringtone, and the artist would get more royalty kickbacks than from the selling the full song itself.
Yeah.
So in that way, I think it was maybe kind of a step back for music. I mean,
or at least for the artists who kind of cashed in on that whole
thing. Exactly. I don't know how to quantify that in any way. That's just me bitching, basically, but
well, I agree with you that I had no idea that there were like that ringtones became such a thing that some artists basically, in like you said, like in some cases they had like a ringtone version of their song, or some artists literally, from what one source calls the quote-unquote ringtone rap era, I mean, they would make a song that had like a really good 15 to 20 second bit in it, because they put all their creative energy into that, which would be the bit they cut for the ringtone. But then they wouldn't put a whole lot of energy into the rest of the song. So you kind of have this breed of songs that are made specifically for that purpose. And they're like, well, I guess we'll make a whole song out of it too. So that, to me, is super bizarre. Like, I had no idea that was a thing. And if we were going to do a subtopic out of this as a separate episode, I think it would be that, like looking at artists who did that.
That would be interesting. I wouldn't mind doing that as a follow-up.
So that could be a thing later on, listeners. But yeah, then there were other cases where like some musicians literally, they would write a 20-second long song. Either it's rap or it's like electronic music or something, where they are like, it's kind of almost like a, what do you call it? Like a creative challenge almost.
Like a jingle?
To kind of, yeah, like to pour a bunch of creative energy into like a legit, quote unquote, legit song that's only like 20 seconds long. So it wasn't just the music company saying, okay, we're going to cut 20 seconds out of Mbop, for example. Like there's actually artists out there like specifically thinking about this format. And to me, that was like really something I never thought about.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Kind of sad, but kind of funny. So I guess
just
with
like
that,
folk radio.
With that in mind, I'm kind of curious what some of the more popular ringtones were at, you know, during this peak ringtone time.
Well, funny you should ask. Where did I write this down?
I handed that segue to you, Peter, and you're just
you
like, fuck,
did.
Where's my script?
I told you that I'm still waking up. Apparently, in terms of like historical sales and everything of a ringtone, Lil Wayne's Lollipop is considered the biggest selling ringtone of all time.
I this is gonna sound bad, but I don't remember that song. We might have to play a clip.
Oh, I think we will. She licked me like a lollipop. Oh yeah, I like that. She licked me like a lollipop. Yeah, so listeners, both of us had to go look up that song because we didn't really know it by name. But yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like a beeping tune.
Kinda.
Kinda-ish. So that you could, I guess, maybe see that as a ringtone. Anyway, so in 2009, that kind of earned that distinction of being the best-selling ringtone. And in, you know, since then, it's gone 5 times platinum in ringtone sales, which I did not know was a thing. But apparently in 2006, which I said was more or less like the peak of ringtones, the Record Industry Association of America, who kind of has, when you say like an album has gone gold or platinum or whatever, that organization is kind of like the one who defines what those benchmarks are and who reaches them. I didn't realize that in 2006 they actually made an award specifically for ringtone sales, because usually you think of that in terms of like a single song or, you know, an album or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird.
That is pretty weird.
So there was actual like industry measurements of best selling.
Do you think that when an artist won a platinum ringtone sales, they got like a platinum coated razor or something? Motorola razor?
We'll go with that, sure. A couple years before that, in 2004, another thing I didn't realize was that Billboard, who basically manages, like, here's the top songs of today, like, they've been doing that. Like, we actually talked about this last episode, how they manage, like, all the charts of here's, like, the top pop songs or the top country song, whatever. But they launched a ringtones chart back in 2004, which apparently is still going on today. Although, actually, looking at this again, maybe it died, because it seems like the last
week
date that they have on here is the last week of November 2014.
Yeah.
So maybe it is dead.
Maybe they were like, oh, ringtone sales have gone to shit. Let's kill this.
Well, I was shocked that, because I assumed that this was still a thing. Even going up to 2014, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But apparently at that time, the number one ringtone was Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Huh.
Yeah, so I didn't, like, so the industry, I mean, I wouldn't say they really do anymore, but at least at the time, the music industry took ringtones very seriously. And, like I said, previously, basically integrated it into all of their metrics for sales and awards and whatnot. So, to me, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I guess it shows, at least at the time, just how, like, how much of an explosion it was for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break here, but when we come back, we will talk about the fall of ringtones, that is, all the reasons that they basically stopped being a thing. So, we'll be right back after this short message. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Peter.
Do you know what a website is?
No!
It's a thing on the internet, and you can go there, and it's fun.
Is that where I can find things to do?
Yes, you can find things to do there. getyourfunk.com is a website for funk radio, and you can find our episodes there, and you can listen to them, and you can download them, and we have a tip jar. Do you like money, Kyle?
I love money.
Well, people will give us money there at getyourfunk.com.
Yay!
Do you have a favorite episode of funk radio?
I like the one about butts.
Well, at getyourfunk.com, you can use the search bar and type in butts, and it'll pull up our episode that we did a while back about butts.
Yay!
And now back to our previously scheduled content. Okay, we are back. I know we talked a little bit already about, like, for example, like the cost of each song.
Mm-hmm.
But starting to talk about the fall of ringtones, like I said, it was the second half of the 2000s decade, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So like we said, the novelty kind of wore off. I think that was one of the biggest things, because we were saying at the beginning, like, oh my gosh, I can have whatever song I want on my phone. Well, by 2007 and onward, you know, smartphones were a thing. You could customize so much more of your phone. Digital music had been around for a while. Something else that I don't really know, this is considered by many sources to be a big reason for the fall of ringtones, although, like, I don't really have a lot of personal remembrance of this, but apparently the technology in cell phones eventually caught up to the point where people could record their own ringtones rather than being forced to buy like pre-recorded ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I don't know if you have anything to say about that specifically, but that makes sense that if you're able to make your own, why would you buy them from a store?
I
mean, there is still a place for each one, but yeah. I don't know. I didn't really have a lot of interaction with that.
I remember at some point when I had my first iPhone, I think it was the 3GS or the 4, there was an app where you could do that. You could just take 30-second chunks of songs and just be like, here, make this my ringtone.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I had my phone on vibrate so often that I just didn't really care that much. And I think, mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe that's kind of a bit of the downfall of ringtones as well, is like, most people that I know that have smartphones don't often have their phone volume ringer on. Most people have it on vibrate a way to not be annoying to others.
Yeah,
in fact, that's a good point. It's almost become socially uncouth for people to have like their ringtones blare out when their phone rings.
You know, which is a kind of a funny cultural shift from, say, 10 years ago when it was more cool to be like your phone goes off, you're like, hey. I'm going to let it ring for a minute. Isn't it cool that I have the Space Jam theme song playing out loud?
Space Jam things. Yeah. The Space Jam theme song is always cool.
Oh, of course. But as a ringtone, I mean, still that would be pretty cool, but maybe that's a bad example. But yeah, I think that's definitely a good point. Is that like, some people, yes, they do have ringtones, but they're just kind of like the default ones on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've heard like a really like a custom ringtone that someone like has, you know, any kind of popular song on it.
Yeah.
It's just the default iPhone or Android bleeps and bloops.
Yeah. It's funny. It's almost to a degree almost. That's another interesting point to make with the popularity of the iPhone and the Samsung Galaxy and the Google phone. Phones, ringtones have almost become like a branding of that phone model now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone, almost everyone knows the classic default iPhone ringtone and be like, oh, that's an iPhone, that's ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Before, really, if you think about it, before the iPhone, and this is a way that, as much as I'm not a huge Apple fan, I have to say they're pretty genius, the phone you had didn't really matter as much. I mean, yeah, there was the Razr. A lot of people had that. It was really popular. But there wasn't this tribalism of phone branding like there was after the after the growth of Android and Apple that there is now, where everyone either has a Samsung, an iPhone, or a Google phone, and there's like this small handful of others that people have, but those are pretty much the big three. And in that fashion, people end up just leaving the default ringtone of their phone on because it's a sound emblematic of that brand, whether it be Samsung, maybe, Apple, whatever. It's almost like an auditory status symbol, like, oh, my iPhone's ringing, let me just pull it out, you know.
I wonder how many people that's like a conscious thing for.
I wouldn't imagine.
Yes, it's probably not a lot. But
I wouldn't imagine it's conscious. I don't think people like say, "Oh, I'm going to leave the iPhone ringer on because I'm a douchebag who wants everyone to know I have an iPhone." I think it's more just out of laziness or necessity of like, "Oh,
yeah,
I just paid $800 for this phone. I'm not paying $6 for a ringtone. God damn it!"
Well, even in response to some of that stuff, like for one, I think. Right now, certainly, and for years, I think probably, it's been very easy to just set whatever sound file you want as your ringtone on a smartphone. I mean, maybe even since the beginning of smartphones, right? So, like right now, as I'm sitting here recording this episode, I could switch my ringtone to, say, the Space Jam theme song. But I'm not going to.
Why haven't you?
I, like you said, like I pretty much always have it on vibrate. I'm not going to have it ring out loud for the most part. And two, I don't care enough. Like, that's just more work that I'm willing to put into it. Not that it's a whole lot of work, but it's enough where I don't really care. And I don't use my phone often enough. Maybe that's another thing, too. like people aren't calling each other as much as they used to. Now texting has become kind of more the primary means of communication, either texting or like say Facebook Messenger or Snapchat, something like that. So ringing itself, the concept of your phone needing to be answered itself, maybe even that has kind of gone down.
That's a good point too. I'm going to sound like a total millennial here, but like when I'm getting a phone call, like an actual phone call, sometimes it annoys me. I'm just like,
phone calls are like, yeah. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
If a phone's, if it's like vibrating over and over and I'm like seeing, oh, I'm getting a call, I become like visibly annoyed sometimes because I'm just like, holy shit, what could you be calling me about that you couldn't just text me?
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think maybe for a lot of people in our generation, because texting has become like the de facto form of mobile communication, phone calls in general have gone down. And that would be an interesting data set to get, is like number of minutes talked on the phone, you know, during the advent of cell phones as opposed to now. And see if that went down or up or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, most phone plans come with unlimited minutes now just because it's all about data anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, basically by now, you know, this is recorded in 2017. I mean, ringtones, for all intents and purposes, have been dead for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Even though only a couple of years ago, it seems like they were still doing okay in sales.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those online stores, whatever, still exist, but I don't know. You know, I'm sure they're still making some sales, but like as a cultural phenomenon, it's gone.
I was going to say, that's one last thing I wanted to mention. One of the things that really always kind of turned me off of cell phone ringtones is, do you remember in the mid-2000s when you'd be watching like MTV or VH1 or whatever, or Comedy Central or whatever, and there'd always be those commercials where it's like, text 7757 to this number to get your free, you know, little Jimmy ringtone. I always thought that was just the absolute sketchiest shit in the world. And I'm just like, if this is how they sell ringtones, I don't want to give my phone some sort of AIDS virus. So,
Or just get put on some list that you get spam.
Exactly. I guarantee. Yeah. Half of those were just like, oh, now this company has your phone number because you texted them and now they're going to send you spam shit. I guarantee that was like the MO of a lot of those places. So it always kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. Like the ringtone industry was just like somehow entirely functioning on like this through like this scam level of just overcharging for ringtones and using it as a way to get your phone number to send you spam. So that's my bitch of the day.
I was going to make a joke about like, if you want to be our bitch of the day next time, I don't even know what that would mean. Oh boy.
Peter's already my bitch of the day.
Yeah. So like I said, I think we'll kinda keep it at this level of detail here with this episode. I mean there's a lot, like even in the reading I was doing, like it went into so much detail in so many different directions, it almost became overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And there's been a couple of episodes where we kinda had to rein it back a little bit just for sake of, you know, keeping it down to one episode, but it was shocking to me, like just how much of like information there was in history and aspects of like the ringtone industry, quote unquote, that I had no idea existed, including the term ringtone industry. Like I didn't even think of that being a thing. So they were a thing. Now they're not. We talked about why. And now you can talk to us about why on Facebook. At facebook.com/getyourfunk.
Yeah.
Tell us about a ringtone that you had back in the day. Or if you still have as a custom ringtone today, tell us about that. That's pretty cool.
I have Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men.
I'm glad to hear you're very up to date with music, Kyle.
Yes.
So, talk to us there if you want. Or if you have an idea for a future episode, say something there. Or if you don't care, don't say anything. That's what most people do.
But if you want to give us money, every episode at the end is just going to sound like some really shitty, like PBS, like, we're funded by viewers like you.
So in our last episode, we kind of announced the launch of our new website, getyourfunk.com. And as Kyle alluded to, We do have a tip jar there if you want to throw us a couple bucks.
My chunk, oh my god, I went to say funk children, I said chunk children. I need to take a nap myself. Oh my god,
my funk. What are children, funk children?
My funk children need to eat.
Okay.
My chunky funk children.
I thought maybe you were calling the listeners your funk children.
All of you are my children.
And you're damn expensive. Tune in next time for more stuff. And if you need to fill the void in the meantime, just listen to some of our old episodes. Mm-hmm. Bye.